Yeah, so that seems to be working all right.
Yeah.
How was your trip?
It went well. It was long, obviously, and I ended up didn't have to drive the moving truck, which is nice. I drove my cousin's car back following the moving truck, which driving on a road for a really long time is boring. Driving on a road looking at the same moving truck in front of you is even more boring. But, yeah, it went well. We made good time and didn't get stabbed at a truck stop.
Didn't get stabbed. Well, it's all you can really hope for, I suppose.
That's all you can hope for.
Although, like you say, a truck stop you think is better than a rest stop.
Yeah, yeah. And the thing that was nice is most of the eastern states that we went through, Ohio, New York, Indiana, and parts of Illinois, were all expressways. And so they had, like, those little, like, pull-offs that were, like, considered rest stops, but they had, like, gas stations at them and, like, restaurants and lots of people and lots of light and nobody stabbing you. So that made it pretty easy for me to stop.
That is nice. So you're more concerned about the rest stops that are more remote.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
All right.
I'd way rather be in a big city than the middle of a cornfield. But yeah, right. You had a pretty big weekend.
I had a pretty big weekend. Yeah, it was
saw
a lot
some
of stuff
on Twitter and
if
talk
you would,
about
if you
stuff.
Follow on Twitter. So I'm part of this kind of two man company called Swinging Sultan, and the other man in this company is my brother, and together we make an iPhone and iPad app called Tip of the Tongue. It was up until this past week just an iPhone app. Then we released the iPad version, and we've been trying to get some publicity for that, doing a little bit of advertising. It's actually kind of piled up, and every time it seems like I'm finishing one thing, there are like five more things that have to be done really quickly.
Yeah, I mean, I can imagine that. It's
this really weird sort of like living within deadlines, but then needing to create our own deadlines, because unlike traditional work, like we can do it whenever we want, and we don't really have a specific goal, and we don't need to make revenue at a certain rate to support it. So it's not like we're going to go out of business if we don't release, you know, this week, because it's just a hobby.
Yeah.
But, and then it's not like schoolwork that we had done in school, because, you know, we're doing it for ourselves and we can put the time into it when we have time and not when we don't. But that means that we released in January an iPhone version, and at the time we were really proud of it, but it needed a lot of work. The basics of the game is that it displays a letter and a category, and then everyone gathers around one phone or iPad, and you know, you shut out the words that fit into the category and start with a letter. And so we made that work, and it worked really well, but visually it wasn't very well designed. It needed a lot of touch up. It had some rough edges that we needed to fix, and we thought, well, we're going to wait. We're going to hit that with a 2.0 update. We'll add iPad support. We'll get a lot of new features. It'll be great.
And you did. You were working on it all last spring, or this spring.
Yeah, this spring.
And
last spring.
I wasn't really sure what you were working on, but it turned out well. I was really, really excited to play the 2.0 version this weekend. So
thanks a lot. Yeah. So, yeah. You know, I don't really know why we picked, about a week and a half ago, we said, all right, we got to ship this day, because for several weeks we had said, all right, this weekend we're going to get together, we're going to crank it out. I live closer to my brother now, so we can actually meet up and work, which makes it a little bit easier to do work. But we would meet up and we'd say, you know, all right, so we got, you know, Saturday and Sunday, or maybe Friday, Saturday and Sunday to work on this. We should send it to Apple, because it takes about 2 weeks to get it approved by Apple. Said we should send it to Apple. We'll get it approved. We can send it at the end of this week, and then, like, you know, Sunday afternoon, we're like, well, all right, we've got about enough stuff that we can send it on Tuesday, and then, you know, the following Thursday, we're like, well, we can send it Sunday night. So finally, we just set ourselves a deadline, and we made it. And then after that, it was like I had to make the website, so I started coding up the website and designing the website, and we actually got through the App Store review really quickly.
Oh, yeah?
So the website was like, I was planning to have 4 or 5 more days to finish it, and Owen sent me a message on a day. He's like, oh, looks like we're in review. You should probably put another log on that fire. And like half an hour later, he's like, all right, we'll cut down the tree because this shit's ready to fly.
Yeah.
And so we get it out, and you know, we put it out the next morning. We kind of got a time when he was in Minnesota visiting my parents and going to a wedding. So we got it shipped in the morning, we released it, and then all of a sudden I was like, well, crap, there are dozens of other things that need to happen. So now it's, you know, updating Facebook page and making graphics for Facebook page, and it's updating Twitter, and it's, you know, making Reddit threads that give out promo codes, and it's contacting blogs to try and get them to support us. And the big news for today is that about 35 minutes ago, we started supporting Evening Edition, which is an online newspaper, or news source. I guess it's not really fair to call it a paper because it'll never actually be on paper. But, I mean, I hope it's not on paper.
Again. Something terribly bad happens.
Unless people are printing it out and then reading it, which doesn't make any sense. But so it's an online news source, and, you know, we contacted them last week. And didn't have to do a whole lot. We had to write some copy. I had to make some specific size images for their ad. But it was enough that it was like, you know, more of these hurdles that we have to get through. And then now that that's finished, it's like we have to start supporting that more. Now I'm trying to add publicity on for Evening Edition so more people can kind of see it. And in the end, it has been this really, really arduous process for something that seems really simple. I mean, the app is fairly complicated, but in terms of apps that are successful in the store, apps in the store, it's actually pretty simple.
Yeah, yeah. The simplicity of maybe the actual application, like the app, I think that right away, visually, sort of those two looked the same, you know, it looked simple and sort of quick. And with the 2.0, it looks a lot more professional, looks a lot more clean, I guess. I enjoyed playing it a lot more. Not
good.
Gonna lie.
That's good to hear. And we're trying to do some features that are kind of different from what we've seen in existing apps. So we based it on the idea of playing a game with friends. So we were thinking about games like Catchphrase and Apples to Apples and better games like, you know, Monopoly and Dominion and these really
Wait. You just said better games like Monopoly.
Oh, Monopoly is one of the best games.
Monopoly is not one of the best games.
Monopoly is one of the best board games. One of the best games.
I would disagree strongly.
Why? It's such a balanced,
It's about real estate.
It's more than real estate.
It's about buying and selling real estate.
Yeah, and it was actually, the original Monopoly game was designed as kind of an anti-capitalist message.
Yeah.
Which, of course, is the reverse, because you win when you are the best capitalist.
Yeah.
And I don't think many people really take that lesson of, like, destroy the man and this sort of system is really bad for everyone from it. But the game is extremely balanced.
Yeah.
And there are enough broken parts of it to make it fun. I mean, there are some properties that are worth more. I'm not going to share those in case we ever play Monopoly.
No,
I don't want you to know which property.
It's all about the railroad. You hit all four railroads and you're on the cash cow.
The railroads are not worth anything.
Nah, I disagree.
I will pass the railroads
up. But now that we know that you like Monopoly and you play boring games, let's get back to Tip of the Tongue.
So Monopoly is a great game. We designed Tip of the Tongue with the idea of kind of a family board game.
Yep.
And of course, we wanted it to be fun in a broader setting. It seems like maybe 50% of the time I spend playing it is actually in a bar, but we don't really need to address that. So since we were thinking of this board game, we were trying to think, where do people play board games? Obviously, living room, you know, and that ties in with another part of this kind of Apple ecosystem. So we spent a lot of time developing nice AirPlay support. So if you have an Apple TV and you're playing the game on your iPhone or iPad, you can stream the game to your Apple TV, and that makes it, it's a lot more fun to play because you don't have to kind of cram around one device. You can have more people playing it. It makes the game bigger. It also added quite a bit of development time because there were a lot of bugs to fix. There were more graphics to make. It made it really hard. If you ship an app that's over 50 megabytes, users need to be connected to Wi-Fi to download it.
Yeah.
And
I had to download it during the road trip, so I had to wait until I was at a rest area and get it downloaded.
So right now we're at like 52 megabytes or something, and it was just like that was one of the corners we had to cut to ship on time. We've got an update that we're going to send to Apple very, very soon. And I don't mean very, very soon, like 3 weeks from now. I actually do mean very, very soon, which gets it under 50 megabytes, which means you can download it over the cell phone network. That's a pretty huge thing. The graphics for the phone, and then obviously whenever you have the phone, you also need Retina phone, and then you have the iPad and Retina iPad, and then you have TV. it starts to pile up pretty quickly, even though it's essentially just like these playing card graphics that are very, very minimal. Still takes up a lot of space. And there's only so much compression you can do without kind of destroying your pings.
Yeah. But, yeah, I mean, I really thought you guys, like you said, it kind of ended up taking a little more time than you had expected right away. I'm glad you took the time because I was really, really impressed with the results. Actually, we ended up playing it a little bit in the car on our drive. My cousins, two cousins and I. It was awesome because there was a few times where, like, sports characters or sports teams. And for the first time in my life, being in a car with my two female high school age cousins, I had more knowledge of sports than anyone else in the car. I felt very masculine for the first time in a long time. It was great. It was great.
Wonderful.
But, yeah. Yeah.
Good, good. That's good to hear. Yeah, we hand wrote the categories, obviously, and we kind of brainstormed them and had some people help us write them. There's a lot of categories that I don't have any information or knowledge of. So, like, sports stars or, you know, bands from the 80s I'm not very good at. There's a lot of that I'm not so strong at.
Yeah, there was something about chemistry that sort of, that was one of the no score. Mm-hmm. Nobody got a score on that one.
Mm-hmm. There actually is, one of the main complaints we had was that it seemed like hard letters came up too often. And so that's like an X comes up, and, you know, like X in chemistry is not a super easy category.
No.
And obviously, like, X in U.S. states is an impossible category. But people were saying, some of our testers were saying they thought that the hard letters were coming up too often. So we actually put in a cheat code that can help fix that. I'm not going to share it here. It's a cheat code that you kind of have to find. So that's something worth looking around for.
dig around the internet for that.
Dig around the internet, you know. Check out Game Facts.
Game Facts.
Did you ever read Game Facts?
Oh. Yeah. We had... Well, the one thing that was getting me was whenever the letter G would come up, my one cousin kept saying garbage. Because in almost every situation, you could argue that there was some sort of garbage there. Things at the... In the White House, she said garbage. And I mean, you can't argue that, you know?
Yeah. Gerald Ford.
He's not there anymore. If he is, they've got to clean out some closets.
So, you know, we didn't actually have to cut corners that we felt like we were... We didn't really cut corners that we felt sad to cut or that we really were disappointed about. And my brother and I are both the type of people that don't like to cut corners in the things we're making. We like to make the best thing we can. But you do have to start to kind of sacrifice some things. And so that cheat code is kind of a test for, like, figuring out if we want it to be an option in the future. And since it's not, I mean, I don't really consider it cutting a corner, but it is a way of saying, like, we want to put this feature in, but we don't want to test it for, you know, 2 weeks with users, and we don't want to have, like, user groups and sit around and test this. We want to ship, so let's put it in kind of a hidden way, and then we can let some people know about it, and we can test it more slowly while it's still in the app. That actually, so far, seems like a really good decision, because it's something that we can use, and we can kind of talk about with people. We don't need to push too much, which is wonderful.
Yeah, yeah. Well, where can our listeners... Find this app and find out more about Swinging Sultans.
So the company name is Swinging Sultan, and you can go to swingingsultan.com to get info about the app. The name of the app is Tip of the Tongue. We're on Twitter as Swinging Sultan, in the App Store as Tip of the Tongue, you know, usual places. That's another thing I found, that immediate response when we put the app in the store, because we submitted it to Apple for approval, and we said, hold it, don't release it, hold it. And then it's a checkbox that Owen was in, because he's actually the one with the developer account. So he was holding it until he was ready to publish it, and then he you know, set the button to make it live. And then it takes like 30 minutes to a couple hours for it to actually be in the store. And so there's tons of time, like, constantly refreshing. And then it's actually in the store. And I mean, I don't know how many apps you install on your phone from the App Store, but that install button is the hardest button to press in the entire world. Because like, if you tap it too quickly, it doesn't work. And if you hold it, it doesn't work. I mean, you gotta Fonz it just right to be able to download your app. And so, like, you finally get it downloaded. And, then you're really worried that something's going to break or that there was a bug you didn't notice. And so, anyway, the version in the store right now is really, really good. We're super happy that it went as well as it did. Tip of the tongue in the App Store. Easy peasy.
Get it.
Yeah.
Download it while you're listening. It'll be downloaded by the time this episode is done, for sure.
But it won't be downloaded by the time you decide to turn this episode off.
Oh, yes. I think they might have already done that. That's the issue.
So, people have been listening for a little bit. I think we could probably introduce the show here.
We got a name.
We have a name now. It's named a little more official. Why don't you go ahead and say the name of the show?
You sort of came up with it. I'm gonna throw it to you.
Ooh, now you're putting that on me.
Oh, I am. I'm giving you full responsibility for this one. I supported it.
All right, you supported it, so we're equally culpable. Yeah. The name of the show is, of course, The White Horse Courier, and I'm Will, talking here with Tom. Every week we're going to talk about some interesting stuff that's happened to us, some interesting stuff going on in the world, and then, to some extent, television commercials, or maybe just commercials. We don't need to restrict it to TV, but commercials. No. The idea is that, you know, we both are designers, and we both are interested in things. We also both watch some television, and I don't think either of us hate commercials, which is something that's pretty common. I don't ever want to see a commercial when I'm watching television.
Not every time I'm watching television. Sometimes I'm watching television and I enjoy it, the commercials. But if I'm watching a TV show that I thoroughly enjoy, I don't want the commercials to be there.
I understand that the shows I enjoy probably wouldn't be possible without commercials, because the people watching them wouldn't pay the amount to make them get made. So the advertisers are the ones that are paying for the show to get made, and I'm fine to watch some spots, whatever. I don't want to ever watch them, and I would gladly watch the show on Netflix or iTunes or recorded. But when I see commercials, I do watch them with a critical eye, and I am interested in them. And I think, you know, we might as well jump right into the first commercial we have to talk about this week.
Yeah, what do we got here?
So this is an ad for IKEA. It's a couple years old. Why don't we go ahead and cue it up here and we'll watch it together.
All right.
Seen this ad before?
I had seen it probably a couple years ago, probably when it was first out. Yeah. And I watched it again today before we started recording.
So, you know, there's not a whole lot to listen to in it, so I'll overplay the commercial with the episode here. But essentially, it's a video of cats playing in an IKEA. Tons of cats. They're inside of the fixtures. They're on the tables. They're in the bed. They're just kind of hanging out.
Clawing at things. Clawing at each other.
At the end, it says home, and then it's got a picture of a cat in a bed, and it says it's how it makes you feel. And then there's the IKEA logo and some other stuff. Some of their advertisements for, like, the spring catalog or whatever. So it's a minute-long commercial. It's trimmed to 15 and 30 seconds for television, of course, but it's a minute-long commercial of cats playing inside of an IKEA.
With no other humans in it. The store looks closed.
The store looks closed. It actually is closed, but the store looks closed. It's dark. They just let the cats kind of roam around and play, so there's not really a narrative to it other than just cats being cats inside of a store.
Yeah. I'm going to just jump in right away.
Okay, go ahead.
And say it might hurt our viewership. It's going to be one of those kind of comments, but I'm not a cat person. So, I have a huge bias towards this commercial simply for that reason.
That's why I picked this ad, if you'd believe it.
Oh, I know that's why you picked it. But I'm just saying that, so anything that I say, take it with a grain of salt if it has to do with the cats, because as a whole I don't like them. I also find it a little bit creepy that there's all these cats inside of a closed IKEA store. Like, it kind of looks like they're coming out, too. Like, they shut down the store, and then the cats come out to play. Which makes me a little uncomfortable that I'm buying furniture from them. Makes you a little uncomfortable
that you're buying furniture that was touched by cats. So, it's worth saying, both the cats and the IKEA are way cleaner than any cat or any IKEA ever actually is, right?
Well,
like, the cats are clearly prepped for the ad, but the IKEA, which if you haven't been through an IKEA, they're these gigantic stores with, you know, hundreds and hundreds of pieces of weird cheap furniture that's all flat packed, so it's in like flat box, and then you have to put it all apart or put it all taken.
However, to shop at an IKEA, you have to walk through the entire store.
It's all like 16 miles of walking to the entire store. And everything has a Swedish name, because it's a Swedish company. But everything also has like a number associated with it, and you have to find the specific number and write it down. And then at the end of the 16-mile journey, you're in this gigantic warehouse, and they have all these boxes that are just these brown boxes with the numbers written on them. And you just grab the box and you think you're getting what you need, and then you get home.
It's not.
You go to put it together, and it has almost all the parts you need, and it's got like just enough screws and... it's actually, you know, so I'm sitting in a room that's mostly IKEA furniture, and it's pretty high quality for the price and experience of shopping their stuff. But this IKEA looks like a spot someone would want to hang out, and I don't know anyone that would want to like go to an IKEA and like be around inside the store.
No, of course not, because I think that one of the things though is obviously the store is closed. I think if I walked into an IKEA and there were no other people there, it might influence me to want to hang out there for a while.
Yeah, that's true. Maybe it is partially that there are people around. It's mm-hmm. really hard to get a homey feel for something when you're surrounded by people and these bright lights and the kind of the loud roar of the store. It's not an easy way to like think like, oh, is this nightstand actually something that will make me feel good about myself?
No. Yeah, that's a hard one. Yeah, I think that the other thing is I think there's enough people out there that aren't cat people that making a commercial specifically geared towards cats and people who consider cats to be a symbol of home is sort of a stretch.
So is it fair for me to say that you don't like this commercial?
I don't. I don't like it.
Okay. I'm not a huge cat person. Like I'm not a crazy person, you know. But I don't dislike them. Certainly not on the level you do. I've never owned a cat, and I probably never will own a cat. But they are nice, friendly animals.
Well, I wouldn't say that, but...
Moses is a fantastic cat.
Okay. There are rare examples of cats. As a whole, the population of cats are not friendly. They usually keep to themselves. They're like home decor that walks around and sheds everywhere.
Yeah, well, there were some skinless cats. Skinless cats. There were some hairless cats in this ad.
Okay, so they're a hairless piece of furniture that walks around.
The second question, Tom, is if you don't like this ad, do you think this ad is a successful commercial? Obviously, we don't have metrics on whether or not this sold more flat-packed bed frames. But, you know, watching this commercial, do you think it accomplishes the goal that the company would have for it?
To be honest, I don't think it would. Because, like I said, I think it's too small of an audience. When you just put cats in, fill a room with cats, I think there's a small group of people who get really excited about that. But the broad spectrum of the people that shop at IKEA, you know, college students, young couples.
Most college students and young couples like cats.
But. Yeah, not they don't like their rooms to be filled with cats. If there was one cat that was roaming about the IKEA store... Like, he owned the place, and this was his house. It would be much more successful for me than it looking like some sort of cat adoption center where they're letting these cats in, and there's, like, 15 different breeds, and they're all sort of, like, there's that part where they're kind of, like, they look like they're playing or clawing at each other. They're all curious about the other ones there. I think there's too many cats for it to be completely successful.
So, I really do like this commercial quite a bit. Not a huge fan of cats, but I do like them. there are a couple of things that I really, really like about it. And the first is that spectacle that you were just kind of complaining mm-hmm. about. The spectacle of having tons of cats inside a store is really interesting to me. And I would really, really like to see it done with a department store that has less furniture and more, like, shirts on hangers and things that cats can actually destroy. It's probably not a good idea, yeah. but that would be a lot of fun. So the spectacle of having all these cats released inside the store is really interesting to me. And I think the commercial is really self-aware in that way, which makes it more successful. My guess is that a lazy writer or a lazy designer or a lazy ad man would think of this idea and say cats inside of a house and then think, you know, home, it's how it makes you feel. Okay, well, how do we do that? And they would go and set up a staged house and put some cats inside of it. And then they would show, like, cats playing with IKEA furniture inside of a house.
Yeah.
And that is really lazy and would not have the same meaning because this is way more honest about the stuff they have and the stuff that they sell.
I guess I'm struggling with seeing it fit with the tagline because, like you said, it's a spectacle. And IKEA and the way the stores work are a spectacle.
Yeah.
Again, to try to make it seem like it's a homey, quaint, like their products maybe are, but the shopping experience isn't. You know, I think Pier 1 maybe could add to that. You know, you walk into it, you feel like you're at home. You walk into an IKEA store, you don't feel like you're at home.
Pier 1 and IKEA are kind of the same market of shoppers, I'd assume. Pier 1 doesn't sell as much furniture, do they?
I think they do.
I didn't know that people went to IKEA to buy, like, hangers and dustbins and stuff, but it's like, they sell a lot of weird stuff. And
oh,
of course,
yeah.
I didn't remember that they sold it until I was there, and you have to spend, like, 3 hours negotiating your way through all the houseware.
Yeah.
So I really like that spectacle. I also really appreciate that they made a making-of video explaining how they shot it, which I think, you know, we'll link to in the show notes. Which will be at thewhitehorsecourier.com. So you can go there and you can see this ad. You can also see this making of video. It's about 4 or 5 minutes and it's just, you know, the crazy people that own the cats that bring them out to release them in an IKEA one night. And then the guys at the cameras and, you know, the director, and they're all kind of sitting there recording them. It makes it look like a lot of fun to record. And it also makes it look really unplanned, which is something I like to see in commercials. It's more honest because it's unplanned. So they just kind of said, hey, it's a fun idea to get some cats and throw them in a store and see what happens. And then they did. And the end result is not something that is groundbreaking in terms of advertising or groundbreaking in terms of cat videos. But it is a fairly adequate and nicely run commercial.
Yeah, I just don't think... I think what it... I mean, and again, like I said, the cat thing is a big issue for me. But I think it made me not want to buy IKEA stuff. Just because I thought about all these cats running around their stores at night. And I don't like pets on furniture. And that's why I like dogs. Dogs, they stay on the floor.
No, you teach your dog to stay on the floor.
Yeah, but I mean, if you have like a... I like large dogs, I guess, too. So you have
teach a large
you got a 110-pound dog.
You better teach it to stay on the floor.
Yeah, and it keeps on the floor. You get the dog their furniture. You get the human furniture, and you have a clear line.
One of the things that I greatly, greatly enjoy, not so much specifically pictures of animals online, but I love seeing pictures of people that own two dogs, and their big dog is in the little dog bed, and their little dog is in the big dog bed. Because that little dog was mean and kicked the big dog out and took the big
dog. Oh, yeah. Because little dogs are always... Like, if you own two of them and they're domesticated and they've lived together, the little dog always runs the show.
Yeah.
I don't understand
tiny little man syndrome. Tiny little man syndrome.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. It's, like, but I mean, that's probably one of the things that I'm hanging up on the commercial. It's just the cats running around the store. If it was, like, a department store, I would be, again, happier with it. Because I wouldn't mind a cat, like, knocking over my shirt. But I would... Because, you know, you can wash your shirt, throw it in the wash machine. You can run a lint roller over it. If I know that I bought my bed from a store where cats roam around at night, Like,
well, at IKEA, none of your furniture is ever exposed to like human hands or oxygen before you get it. It's all vacuum sealed and then packed in these cardboard boxes.
Yeah.
Huh. All right. Well, I expected you to not like it.
Yeah. You expected right.
If it was animals you liked.
Dogs?
Which, I don't know. If it was dogs, the ad would be really different because dogs act very differently.
Yeah.
But if it was dogs, would you like the ad more?
I think I would like the ad more if there were, like, three or four dogs and you saw them, like, you know, curled up sort of, like, in the room, or you saw them, like, walking to a room. Because I think there's something, maybe it's because I grew up with dogs as a kid or if I always enjoyed them, but, like, opening up my door when I was coming home from school as a kid and, like, seeing my dog, like, curled up on his little dog bed, sort of a comforting feeling. I enjoyed that. The dog seems relaxed, but the dog also knows that he doesn't own the furniture. He knows that he's a guest in that room. The cats are walking around like they're entitled to it. The cat's like, this is my bed that my owner's buying for me. And they're going to put it in their room, but I'm going to walk all over it. I'm going to pee on it, and I'm going to play on it. And they're going to deal with it.
So you said you maybe would like it more if it was just one cat? I think that would be a problem because it would add a narrative to the ad. And so if you saw this one cat running around and exploring, we'd be able to tell a story of what this cat is doing. And having, you know, hundreds of cats, I mean, they had like 100 cats or more in there at the time. Having hundreds of cats or thousands of cats or however many million cats they got, the story is that there are a lot of cats in an IKEA instead of here's this one cat's experience in an IKEA.
Yeah.
And it's a lot more interesting because I think it does make it less of a cute cat video. And it's not just like the person who records their cat all day and then takes the 2 minutes of cute footage and puts it on YouTube. It is kind of a broader, more experiential thing. That brings me to the next thing that we often use to say whether or not a commercial is successful is whether or not we would show it to our friends on YouTube. And this is something that I've shown people on YouTube because I think it is interesting.
Yeah.
I
would show it to somebody on YouTube. You know, like you said, they definitely captured the spectacle. They caught your attention. If I were watching TV, a good show, if I were watching Arrested Development, this ad came on right away, I would be sort of irritated that I was interrupted. But after watching this, I would be, you know, intrigued enough in these cats. And not even that I enjoyed them, but it would make me stop thinking about that I'm missing Arrested Development and make me start thinking about the cats that are roaming around IKEA.
To be honest, of all the television shows, I think Arrested Development actually benefited from commercials a few times. They did some of the best jobs with commercials. They had a lot of jokes. So Ron Howard, the narrator, would make a joke about narrating right at an act break, and then they'd go to commercial. And, like, that joke isn't as funny if they're not actually going to commercial.
Oh, it's that's why I think it's really funny to watch Arrested Development on Netflix, is because you can tell like where the joke was supposed to land, and then there isn't a commercial, it just skips the next scene.
I don't really know how we need to end this show, but I'm thinking it'll be really simple. I'm going to practice it right now.
You're going to practice it?
And then we can practice a few times, and I'll just cut it in and put it in the right spot when we get a good one.
Yeah.
Essentially, I'll say, you know, it's been a good episode. Thanks for listening. We are online at thewhitehorsecourier.com, or you can follow us on Twitter at WHCourier. I did say at WHCourier. That's right. Mm-hmm. Yeah. You know, you can send us a fax if you want. You can send us smoke signals.
What's the number on that? What's the fax number there, Will?
You got to use HelloFax and email it to tips@WhiteHorseCourier.
Oh, okay.
Okay, so that's another thing is every time we say it, we have to say the White Horse Courier because the website actually is
the White Horse Courier.
I could spend another $10 and get both of them.
Nope.
I maybe should.
Nope.
But, all right.
It's well, the White Horse Courier.
Actually, maybe White Horse Courier. White Horse Courier is taken. That's like a courier service.
Don't go there. Go to the.
Don't the White Horse Courier.
And for extra super secret service with me, I've got numbers written about bathroom stalls. Find it.
To find one.
Send an owl.
I've been reading Harry Potter. I was actually thinking about doing a fan edit of Harry Potter.
Yeah, I haven't been able to read those books since I finished the seventh one for the, like, final time.
So, I was thinking about it because, like, I'd say once every year and a half or so, I go back and reread all of the books.
Yep.
And I generally read them out of order, and then I generally skip kind of the middle third of each book.
Oh, yeah, where it kind of slows down.
Yeah, I mean, a lot of the rising action. So you get the exposition, yep. And then I skip to the conclusion. I also skip some of the beginning, especially in the later books, the first chapter or so, because I don't care.
Yeah.
Because it's, like, intrigue, but once you know the intrigue, it's just kind of slow.
Do you skip the entire second book? Because that one sucks.
I actually I read that today.
Oh, yeah.
I don't think it sucks. I kind of like it. There's definitely parts of it that I like.
It's my least favorite. I like it. I like it more than most books, but it's my least favorite of the series.
I don't think it's my least favorite. It's definitely towards the bottom for me.
Yeah.
I was thinking that I should do a fan edit that would be like a third as long as all seven.
Mm-hmm.
And I could just go through and cut out not parts that don't matter, but the parts that I don't want to read when I'm going back to reread them.
Oh, yeah.
I actually think I could get it down to like 700 pages, which right now it's like, I mean.
Yeah. Although I think a fair amount of that stuff, like, it's tedious details, but then it leads to, like, connects to other tedious details in later books.
It's
and
super
you enjoy
important.
That, you know, as a reader.
You definitely need that. This wouldn't be a fan edit to replace it. This would be a fan edit, like, when you've read these books dozens of times.
Here's what you do.
You want to reread them, you can reread just these parts, because those are the parts that, I mean, obviously that would be highly individual, but it might be really interesting.
Yeah.
I kind of want to do it just so I know which parts I like, because I don't really pay attention when I'm skipping.
Yeah.
So I'd like to know why I'm skipping the parts, and, like, which parts I'm, so, yeah, that's interesting.
To be honest, I was so sad when the seventh one ended that every time I've started rereading since then, I've just been like filled. Like, as soon as I start reading, I know that I know everything that's in the books. And I read them multiple times until the seventh one came out. I read that one in like 23 hours and then I cried. Then I cried for like 30 hours. Not because of how the story ended. Mainly part of the crying was because of the epilogue that made me irate.
Really?
I it was so like we knew it happened. Why did she have to write it?
All right, that's like that doesn't. I mean, I can see being upset about it, but I don't see being that upset about it.
Yeah, it was just. It felt like. I mean, I felt sort of like she was thinking I was a stupider reader. I was like, wow,
well, it's a children's book, Tom.
What?
It's not written for 20-year-olds,
dude. I read it when I was a child. I guess
you
I was like I was 16.
You were like 17. You were probably, 16 or 17 when you read it.
I was 16 when the seventh one came out.
Yeah, but you also had probably read a lot of advanced fiction.
Yeah, I think that,
it was made to be approachable for preteens.
Yeah,
so.
Well, I think that the books, I strongly believe that every other generation will enjoy the books. Our generation will have a special connection to them because I really do feel that with each new book, the story sort of advances, like, in difficulty and in, understanding.
Oh, yeah, most definitely.
So I think that no other kid is going to, like, wait a year before they read the next one.
Mm-hmm.
But if they did, they would really enjoy those books more. Like, if I ever have kids and they're interested in Harry Potter, I'm going to, like, try to, like, I'm not going to, like, force them.
You're going to give them one book a year.
No, I'll encourage them to read it that way. I'm not going to force it upon them.
My dad had a series of books, called Brains Benton. I don't know. The character's name was Brains Benton. I think it's kind of a young Sherlock Holmes sort of thing. So it's told from his sidekick, and he's like, Brains Benton is a kid who's really, really smart and solves mysteries in town. And then it's told from the point of view of his sidekick. And I think they all took place in the 50s or maybe the 60s.
Mm-hmm.
There were six of them. They were really much, much shorter than the Harry Potter books, but the same sort of thing. They ramped up in difficulty to read. And then as you read them, you kind of became a better reader. The same sort of thing that happens in Harry Potter.
Are you sure that they weren't the great brain?
I'm sure that they were not the great brain.
Okay.
It's probably a really common thing to do.
Yeah.
with children's stories. It's probably really common because authors maybe get bored writing at the level.
Yeah.
And they like want to add, or like if you're going to add things in, or if you're going to add deeper emotional plot lines, it needs to get more complicated.
Yeah, and as the characters get older, I mean, the story gets older, you know? When Ron turns 16 years old, he's going to start becoming interested in girls.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah. I mean, that becomes part of the story, you know?
And some of that was handled awkwardly, but it was so wonderful.
It was so good.
So awkward.
But that's what made those stories so good, is because it was very real. And the awkwardness of it all. But the Great Brain books, which I'm surprised you've never read them, Will. They're sort of rare. They're kind of rare. My mom read them to us as kids, and they're about these three brothers who grow up in, like, the late 1800s, early 1900s in Salt Lake City. So it's, like, a highly Mormon community. And they are Catholics growing up there.
It's getting worse. It's getting worse and worse.
Oh, you. And so, but, like, it's just kind of funny because they're sort of this, not necessarily outcast, but they're, like, a different than everybody else. And the middle brother is, like, insanely smart. Like, street smart. And he goes around and, like, swindles everybody out of money. He just, like, has all these schemes to make money and, like, and it's told from the perspective of the younger brother, and it's a true story, and
it just keeps getting worse and worse.
It is really good. Like, the Great Brain sort of is like you. Like, he goes to Catholic boys' school, and then he just
like me.
Oh, yeah, you went to Catholic boys' school. Well, you grew up in St. Cloud. Growing up in St. Cloud is like going to Catholic boys' school all the time.
It's pretty similar. Yeah.
And he just has all these schemes and sort of tricks. All
right, well.
Fills them with trickery.
I will put that in the show notes. That's something we should probably have people listen to. God damn it. We should have people read.
They should read The Great Brain and Harry Potter and Brains Benton all before next
Brains
week.
Benton. So, Brains Benton, there was a series that was more modern when I was young. Encyclopedia Brown.
Yes.
Same sort of thing. Kids that smart, solves mysteries. I think in those ones, they didn't tell you the answer to the mystery. They, like, put it in the back of the book, right? Like, you read the mystery, and then you'd flip to the back to see the answer. And oftentimes, it would just be this, like, super obscure answer that's just like, that's not fair.
No, kids like, would never get that.
You added details in the answer. That's not fair at all. But you have to be able to solve it with the details that are in, but that's fine.
Yeah. Those are pretty good books, though.
Yeah. Yeah. This has been The White Horse Courier, and you can get us online at thewhitehorsecourier.com or follow us on Twitter at @WHCourier. I'm Will, which is at Will Imholt on Twitter.
And I'm Tom, which is at Tom Wixo.
And we'll talk to you next week.
Sounds good.
I grew up in the city to right around 14. Then I was shipped like a box to the country, and it made me hate the peace. Goddamn, I miss the city and everything that I call home. This pistol-kissing state of mind is gonna kill me if I don't. 'Cause there ain't no pleasing me. But no, there ain't no pleasing me. 'Cause everything that I see, I don't believe. There ain't no pleasing me. A dirty rotten apple falling from a tree. There ain't no pleasing me, I believe. So I went back to the city. It's a hustle and a bustle show. There's a million racing hearts alone, and they're just dying for a pot of gold. Goddamn, I miss the country and the peace I learned to love. My thoughts won't think, and I thought it over, and I'd like to think I'm on the run. 'Cause there ain't no pleasing me. I know there ain't no pleasing me. 'Cause everything that I see, I don't believe. There ain't no pleasing me. a dirty rotten apple falling from a tree. There ain't no peace in me, I believe. My solution's really simple, but it'll take a little bit of time. I'll clone myself and I'll live in both and just bitch about the sunshine. And if I fail as a scientist, and if my face won't smile without it, I'll try to make my story make me semi-rich, and I'll buy myself two houses. Cause there ain't no pleasing me, I know there ain't no pleasing me. Cause everything that I see, I don't believe. There ain't no pleasing me, a dirty rotten apple falling from a tree. There ain't no pleasing me, I believe. There ain't no pleasing me, I know there ain't no pleasing me. Cause everything that I see, I don't believe.